Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 62, The Meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. Beginning with verse 16, we'll read a few verses. Chitraleko vachak vyasanam te pakashami trilokyam yadibhavyate tam aneshye varamyaste manoharta tamadisha. Chitraleka said, I will remove your distress. If he is to be found anywhere in the three worlds, I will bring this future husband of yours, who has stolen your heart. Please show me who he is. Purport. Interestingly, the name Chitraleka indicates a person skilled in the art of drawing or painting. Chitra means excellent or variegated, and Leka means the art of drawing or painting. Chitraleka, as described in the following verse, will now utilize the talent indicated by her name. Let us read on. Ityuktva deva gandharva siddha charana panagam daitya vidyadaram yakshan Manujams cha yatalikat. Saying this, Chitraleka proceeded to draw accurate pictures of various demigods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, Panagas, Daityas, Vidyadharas, Yakshas, and humans. Manujeshu chasa vrishnin shuram ana kadundavim vyalikad rana krishna cha pradyumnam viksya lajita anirudam velikitam viksyo shavan mukhi hriya so savasa vati praha smayamana mahipate. O king, among the humans, Chitraleka drew pictures of the Vrishnis, including Shurasena, Anakudundabi, Balaram, and Krishna. When Usha saw the picture of Pradyumna, she became bashful, and when she saw Aniruddha's picture, she bent her head down in embarrassment. Smiling, she exclaimed, "He's the one. It's him." Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti gives the further insight. When Usha saw the picture of Pradyumna, she became bashful because she thought, "This is my father-in-law." Then she saw the picture of her lover, Aniruddha, and cried out in joy. Chitraleka tam agyaya Potram Krishna Siya Yogini Yayo Vihayasa Rajan Dwarakam Krishna Palitam. Chitraleka, endowed with mystic powers, recognized him as Krishna's grandson Aniruddha. My dear king, she then travelled by the mystic skyway to Dwaraka, the city under Lord Krishna's protection. Tatra suptam saparyanke pradyumnim yogamastita grihitva shonita puram sakyai priyam adarshayat. There she found Pradyumna's son Aniruddha sleeping upon a fine bed. With her yogic power, she took him away to Shonitapur, where she presented her girlfriend Usha with her beloved. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments as follows on this verse. It is stated here that Chitralekha resorted to mystic power, Yogam Astita. As explained in the Harivansha and other literatures, she needed to employ her powers because when she arrived at Dwaraka, she found herself unable to enter Lord Krishna's city. At that time, Sri Narada Muni instructed her in the mystic art of entering. Some authorities also say that Chitralekha is herself an expansion of Yoga Maya. Ugyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshamilitamiyena Tasma Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitamiyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama and Vidati Swabhidantakam Vachkapaturibhya Stagripa Sinmivya Vachapaditana Bhavanibhya Vaishnavidya Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasni Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chitralekha is a very powerful personality. Somehow she managed to enter Dwaraka and steal away Aniruddha by some sort of mystic power, something like that. But when she arrived in Dwaraka, near Dwaraka, she found she was unable to enter because, as is described in the previous verse 20, Dwarakam Krishna Palitam. Dwaraka is protected by Krishna. It is not just some place that you can come and go. In those days, people could not even physically enter the place. There was some sort of system or other for keeping people away. But she became able to enter. So either, as is described here, either Narada Muni taught her some special mystical process, or if she was Yoga Maya, then she would be able to enter. Because what is that protection? What sort of people are meant to not be able to enter? Place like Dwaraka means the non-devotees. Only the devotees can enter. Non-devotees cannot enter. So even if Narada Muni instructed her in some mystical process and by some tricky means, some illusory capabilities of some sort, she was able to penetrate those defenses which were there by Krishna Palitam. Whatever arrangement Krishna had made for keeping people out. So even if it was, so to speak, just some mystical prowess which Narada Muni gave her, then surely it also must have been something to do with devotional service. Because even you're some sort of great mystic, you cannot enter Dwaraka or Vrindavan. And nowadays the same standards are there, that as Srila Prabhupada said on a few occasions, you cannot enter Vrindavan by buying a ticket. You cannot enter Vrindavan by the mercy of South African Airways or Jet Airways or even Indian Airlines or Kingfisher or whoever these people are. You cannot. Neither can you enter Vrindavan by the mercy of the taxi driver who drives you from the airport, or the bus driver if you take a bus. Cannot. It may seem you have entered Vrindavan. You may be there in Loi Bazaar. You know, even that may be questionable. How much that's remembered. Anyway, you may appear to be in Vrindavan, but really, you may not be in Vrindavan. And some people, when they enter Vrindavan in that way, but they're not qualified in Krishna consciousness, then we see sometimes they supposedly enter Vrindavan, but then they have some negative experience and become disturbed and so on like that. Or maybe some of them enter, sometimes they get mixed up in some non-devotional activities. So these different possibilities are there. And really what it indicates is the person didn't really enter Vrindavan. It was really just superficial, and there was no substance, or at least a great lacking of substance to their experience there. But if one prepares oneself in Krishna consciousness by chanting very nicely, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books very nicely, and trying to consider the significance of going on a pilgrimage like that, and having that intention of really trying to make a sacred pilgrimage and worship the Lord and appreciate the Lord and appreciate His abode and so on like this, then if one goes to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Dwarka or Jagannath Puri and so on, these main transcendental places, particularly the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, then when you go to those places, oh, you can have very wonderful experience. Even if it can be like a turning point in one's life. In some cases it's like that. Has very deep impact of really enriching one with some realization and some type of experience in Krishna consciousness. These things happen. And therefore we find Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he lists out the 64 devotional activities, then amongst the five very important ones, they're all important, they're different categories amongst those 64 different groupings, but amongst the 64, the last five are said to be very important. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vas, Srimurtiya, Shradaya Seva. One should chant, one should associate with the devotees, chant the holy names of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in a sacred place like Mathura or Dwarka, or more common for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Navadvip, sometimes Jagannath Puri. So one should reside in places like that, and one should worship the deity with great respect and veneration, great faith and respect. One should worship the deity. So these are five devotional activities out of the 64, which Lord Chaitanya and Srila Rupa Goswami, they both say that these five are very important. So one of them is Mathuravas, living in the sacred place, and that includes making some pilgrimage sometimes to these holy places. Srila Prabhupada wanted that the devotees would go in good association, in very Krishna-conscious spirit, and not just go on a holiday, but go into a program, a full program of Krishna-conscious activity in the holy Dham, and in this way, experience what Lord Chaitanya wanted us to experience when he said that. So, otherwise, we find there's reference, Narottam Das Thakur sings, the Bengali I don't know, but he sings, translation is, that you may visit the holy places, but it may be like phantasmagoria. In other words, just some abstract experience, get mixed up in the material situation there, mixed up with some of the people and the goings on, and it's really, there is no real transcendental substance to one's experience. So it is like that, to enter the holy places, particularly these very, very sacred places, which are really close to the heart of the Lord, or they are in the heart of the Lord, to have access to those places in reality. That is not just for everyone. You cannot buy a ticket from Bobby Naidu. Even Bobby Naidu cannot help you. But she got in. She got in. So it must have been some special Krishna conscious arrangement. Must have been. And then she took away Aniruddha. He is not just some person that some mystic yogini could overpower and somehow or other whisk away magically. He's an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is very, very great personality. He is Vishnu Tattva. So some mystical person cannot bewitch him and do something to him. It's not possible. But she was able to do that, apparently. So this is some special transcendental arrangement. And her being able to enter by the mercy of Narada Muni is also some special transcendental arrangement. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni also instructed him in some mystical yogic process, actually, of some sort of Ashtanga yoga, physical exercises and different disciplines and focusing the mind mechanically in different ways. And he told him, yes, this will make you very powerful. And you'll get your kingdom. And Dhruva somehow, he understood, yes, this sounds good. And he got some idea, yes, this is really going to help me, so he got into it. But then Narada Muni very cleverly, without telling Dhruva Maharaj, he also somehow or other managed to integrate some Krishna consciousness in that process, which was otherwise more or less sort of mundane, or certainly not part of devotional service so much, just doing different exercises and controlling your breathing and so on. It's definitely not pure devotional service, and even it's kind of on the material side, really. But Narada Muni included some Krishna conscious sadhana there, chanting the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And And Dhruva thought, yes, this is part of the program. So he was also chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya with great determination, with very focused, very attentively, and it acted. It acted. So Narada Muni, he is not really one to get involved in material activity. He's very, very great, pure devotee of the Lord. Even when Kamsa was just around the time Lord Krishna appeared, then Narada Muni went to Kamsa. Kamsa did not know that the Lord had appeared, because the eighth child was apparently a girl. And she mentioned something about the eighth child being born, but Kamsa, it was not very clear. But then Narada Muni came and said, listen, the eighth child, that boy has been born. You should do something about it. And Narada, you should do something about it. And it was this which inspired Kamsa to do something about it. And so then he instructed his demoniac associates, go and find all the children in the region who have been born in the last so many days and just kill them. So we might think, oh, Narada Muni, he is in Maya. He is now siding with Kamsa. Somehow or other, he is really not properly situated. But it's not true. He was doing that specially to accelerate the appearance of the Lord. So in this case, whatever his involvement was, and whatever happened, that we can understand Chitraleka, she entered Dwarka due to the potency of devotional service, not just some magical powers. Because you cannot buy your way in, you cannot force your way in, you cannot trick your way in, you cannot talk your way in to the kingdom of God. Krishna makes that point. Bhaktiya mam abhijanati. Only by devotional service. Bhaktiya tvananyaya sakya. Only by devotional service can I be understood as I am and be seen. Yes, so even we see in... Later on we'll see in, I guess, the next volume, second to last chapter, there's the story, a very interesting story, of the Brahmin couple whose sons all died one after the other as soon as they were born. And Arjuna tried to protect the last one. Normally, they would just, as soon as they're born, they just disappear. Not just die, but literally vanish into thin air, leaving no trace of anything. But, so this would happen immediately. Last one though, I think eighth one, Arjuna came and said, yes, don't worry, I will protect your child. He said, I have some special potency given to me by Lord Shiva. By Lord Shiva's mercy, I'll protect the child. So the child was born and the child didn't die for an hour or two. Then the child disappeared. Anyway, that's a long story, but eventually Lord Krishna took Arjuna. They went to Mahavishnu. And Lord Krishna addressed Mahavishnu and said, I know you've got these boys. You please return them. And Mahavishnu said, sure, and he just gave them back. And then the Lord asked him, why did you do that? And Mahavishnu said, because I wanted to see you and Arjuna together. This is why I did this. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, again, he comments, and Srila Prabhupada, in the Krishna books at least, he also elaborates on the basis of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura's commentary that Mahavishnu, what was his idea? Not to just get these boys. He was not some sort of kidnapper who wanted to get some ransom or abuse these children or something. But he had a specific plan in mind. He wanted to force a situation in which Lord Krishna would have to come to him with Arjuna. He wanted to see the two of them together. They would have to come to him, and he wanted to see them. Ah, now I am seeing you. That was the goal. And then the boys, yeah, just take them. It's okay. Don't need them anymore. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura discusses, why did Mahavishnu do this? He's Mahavishnu. He's not just some ordinary person at all. He's the great Lord, Purusha Avatar, controlling the whole material realm. So why didn't he just walk in? Why didn't he just do that and just see Krishna and Arjuna? Why didn't he just come and stay? Why didn't he just come and stay for some time and see Krishna and Arjuna together? Why did he do that? He caused great pain to that Brahmin couple. They were deeply distressed. Even to the point they were blaspheming Krishna and King Maharaj Ugrasena. They're saying, what sort of Kshatriya king are you? You can't protect your dependents. And Krishna, you're meant to be some great personality. You protect, you did this, you did that. And we're Brahmins. Why didn't you protect our children, so many of them? So Mahavishnu, in the course of all this, he caused great pain to that Brahmin couple. So why? Why? Even, the whole thing is a little elaborate, but it's very interesting in that second to last chapter of the 10th canto. First of all, there's the story of Bhrigu Muni doing his test to see who is more advanced, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu. So how to test their advancement? He did a very risky thing. He deliberately offended them. Don't do that. If you want to test some devotee, is this devotee advanced or what? Then don't just go and offend them and see how they react and then, okay, now I understand. Don't do that. But he did that. Anyway, without going through all the details, but eventually, last, he came to Lord Vishnu and he walked up to him and kicked him in the chest. Lord Vishnu was lying there in yoga nidra, mystical slumber, apparent, not actually sleeping, but it looks like that. And Bhrigu Muni kicked him in the chest, bang, and the Lord came to his external consciousness and he understood what had happened. And he apologized to Bhrigu Muni. I'm sorry, I hope you didn't hurt your soft lotus foot on my hard chest. And he said, now, because you are a pure Brahman, I feel benefited. Today is my lucky day. I got the dust of your lotus foot on my chest. And now the goddess of fortune, who up until now would come no closer to me than my feet, now she will embrace me to the chest, because she knows the dust of the foot of a Brahmin is on my chest. So, one of the points that comes from that whole event is how Lord Vishnu, how seriously he takes the Brahmins. They are very dear to him. But now in this other case, in the same chapter, here we see Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna and Arjuna. And in order to achieve that, he offended this Brahmin couple. Offended them again and again to the point where they were just extremely distressed. So it's a very interesting point. He offended them in order to see Krishna and Arjuna, to see the Lord and his pure devotee. Just see how importantly he takes the devotee. Even the devotee is much more important to him than the Brahmin. But anyway, the question is still there. Why didn't he just walk in and see them? He is, after all, Mahavishnu. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the very astonishing analysis that even Mahavishnu is not qualified to just enter like that. Even Mahavishnu is not qualified. It was only by the mercy of the devotee, Arjuna, that Mahavishnu was able to have that darshan. Otherwise, even Mahavishnu, he's not able to enter. Because he didn't enter. Because he couldn't enter. So Chitraleka, she entered. She kidnapped Aniruddha. Must have been some special Krishna conscious plan, arrangement behind all of that. Not that she just got her Harry Potter spell together by the special mercy of Narada Muni. And in this way, she mystically outdid Krishna. So Krishna couldn't stop her. Not really. Maybe she's Yoga Maya. But one way or another, some special Krishna conscious mercy came, and she was able to do like that. Any comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.